Me to do so. We're going to pick up where we left off in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's a verse that's sort of become my theme verse. We're not going to turn there. I'm just going to recite it. It's in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I'm not going to get into the context here. I've just kind of made part of that a theme for my life, whatever I do. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in me. There is so much darkness in the world. It's so depressing, and I go places a lot of time where there's people my age, and they talk about sickness, they talk about this surgery, it becomes their badge, you know, whoever has the most wrong has bragging rights, I guess, but it gives you such a great opportunity to interject truth about what's to come, and a lot of them are Christians that you talk to in places. I go with Janie, we go and do a warm water therapy workout where you paddle around, you water walk, and that's our exercise. Most people there are Christians. So we get to talk, and it's sad how few of them know the realities of what's to come. You know, I mean, it's a great way to start talking about, well, you may have problems right now, but you know what? You're going to get a new body. You're going to have a perfect body. God's going to wipe away all your tears. You know, at my age, people start dying and stuff. So, but God will wipe away all your tears. And it's such a great thing to carry in your heart to share with people. Why do I have this hope? Why do I look forward to it? Because of what's going to happen. And so we have a wonderful message to give to people, and we don't want to be deterred from the truth of that, of living it in our lives. We read about Paul saying, don't soon be shaken in your minds that people are saying that the day of Christ or the day of the Lord is at hand. You wonder what he would have to write now, where back then at least he could read, comfort one another with these words, that the dead in Christ are going to rise. We'll meet a man. Christ is coming back. Now, so many Christians believe the dead people are already up there. So why would he need to come back? Things are even so much more perverted than they were back then. And yet, in this dark world, we have the privilege of living in a time where there is more truth available than I believe any other time in the history of man. This is not a time to be bummed out. You know, of course, you turn on the radio and then they're all saying, well, he's coming soon, as Tom mentioned. Nobody knows. Nobody knows when he's coming. We don't need to know when he's coming, but we know what's going to happen when he comes. We know he lives within us. We know who we are, and we look forward with great anticipation, great delight. We love his appearing. We're going to love his appearing because we know that we are going to be either dead or some of the ones that remain alive. But there is so much error and so much evil going on in the world, and yet the joy of knowing the truth. We have so much truth when down through the ages, millions of people were massacred senselessly in wars or famines. Millions of people died in famine. So many things where people never even got to hear about a loving God. There was no truth available. They never got to learn about the salvation in Jesus Christ. And we live in a day and time when it is so absolutely readily available, and we have the joy and honor and privilege of sharing it with people. Well, we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians 2, and we're going to pick up with the last verse that Katie handled, verse 12. That they all might be damned or condemned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And then we're going to get to verse 13, and we're going to see a major contrast. Verse 13 starts with but, and this is one of the big buts of biblical proportions in the Bible. I cannot lie. Had to get that one in there. Ephesians 2:4 is my favorite big but of the Bible. But God, who was rich in mercy. What a great turning point. We were dead in trespasses and sins, without hope and without God in the world. But God. In this one, we see the contrast between those who had pleasure in unrighteousness and didn't believe the truth. They're children of darkness. They're not of the light. They're of the night. And then you see us. They had condemnation. We have salvation. We're bound. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. What an opposite. What opposites. They have condemnation. We have salvation. They're unholy. We have been sanctified. We have been made holy. I love that the King James translates this word bound. It could also be translated ought to. We should thank God. Some couple versions say must thank God. But I like this bound. We're bound. We find no other response, but we're bound to pray for you. We can't do anything else but. It says it earlier. He says bound because of the way that they receive the word of God. But we're bound to give thanks always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. We're bound to give thanks for one another. We're bound to give thanks for that person on the other side of the world because God chose them. They chose to believe the gospel, and God, in his plan from the beginning, he chose them. They were made holy. They're God's holy people. I'm bound. I'm thankful for anybody who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be with us through all eternity. God hath from the beginning is how King James and most of the versions word this, from the beginning. There's a few versions that have first fruits. Translate this as first fruits. I'm not going to get into that this morning. If you want to investigate this, I suggest you check the New English Translation footnote on this verse. There are other places you can find the same information. I lean toward the beginning because I can't see why the Thessalonians would be called first fruits, but I don't know everything. You can look it up and make your own decision on it. But God, from the beginning, chose them and us to salvation, that's new birth salvation, through sanctification of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. That is the only way we can get sanctified, made holy, set apart, is by God's perfect Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ died so that we could have. And belief of the truth. We chose to believe the words of the gospel. It's by free will. We chose to believe. The Thessalonians chose to believe. And praise God, we are holy. We are God's children. I think that's that's all we need to handle on that verse. We'll go on to verse 14. Whereunto? Whereunto what? You could translate this unto which, referring back to the salvation. Whereunto that salvation, or unto which salvation? He called you by our gospel. God called us. We heard his voice. We responded to the truth regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news regarding Christ. Remember, it's Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all that believe. We chose to believe it. Back in the beginning, when God first saw us, foreknew us, he saw that we would believe that plan. He chose us back in the beginning when he was devising the plan of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were called by the gospel, and this next phrase, it blows my mind. We've seen bits and pieces of it throughout the last few days. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word obtaining could be to share in, to get. I like one translation, is to possess. And this is a good kind of possession. We possess, we will possess, the Thessalonian believers as well as all God's people will possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't even know how to define the word glory and do it justice. I mean, it's so huge, so big. The splendor, the brilliance, the magnificence, the praise, the honor, we share in. We will possess that. The NET translates this, he called you to this salvation through our gospel, so that we may possess the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the song, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. The only answer is the depth of his love for us, the depth of God's grace. There is no other answer. Nothing else, nobody else could give something like that, would even dream of giving something to make us share with Christ in his glory. Romans chapter 8 kind of indicates that the ultimate stage of salvation is the glorification. Moreover, or over whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. We have been glorified, and we will see the fullness of that when we're with our Lord Jesus Christ through all eternity. God made us holy. He sanctified us through this salvation. And he wants us to live a holy life. In verse 15, it says, therefore, brethren, stand fast. I think we saw a little of that in Katie's teaching. Stand fast. And hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. We're to stand fast. I think we've heard that in many teachings. To stay put, to stand firm, not to be moved. Stand fast and hold the traditions. That word traditions could be teachings, ordinances. We're to stand fast on them. Taught whether by word, verbally, or our epistle. The verbal ones would be difficult to enumerate. Tom enumerated some of the ones that we'd seen during these past few days at camp, those that are written. Not to be moved off them, to cling to keep believing these things that they were taught. These were holy words. They're still holy. These were holy words from a holy God, delivered by holy men of God, so that holy people such as us could live a holy life. We do well to take heed and obey them. Again, it's certainly not for righteousness. That was sealed by Christ's work. These are in order to please our loving Heavenly Father. So we've been made holy. We've been sanctified, and God wants us to live a holy life. Be holy as I am holy. And we're certainly not left on our own. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God our Father will help us. Their help is always available. Remember when Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless, orphans, I think, but I won't leave you without a help. I'll send a comforter. We have the written word of God. We have God's Holy Spirit within. We have Christ within us and working in the church as the Lord, the head. They will not fail us. It's only by our failure would we fail, but they will not fail us. And of course, even if we do fail, we will be with them forever once the Lord returns. Verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Look at that. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself, not an underling, not an angel. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Verse 16, it's now. Now. And later. All this comfort. How does the Lord Jesus Christ comfort? I forgot my page and my note here. How does he? My pages got mixed up here. Yeah, forget it. How does he work to comfort? Well, again, we have his Spirit working within us. We have he is at work within the church. Well, let's read this. This kind of ties in too with some of the things we've been looking at. He himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. You don't need to look this up, you know where it is. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, he is the head, he works within the body. Our fellow saints, he's working within them. He can encourage, he can comfort, he can console, he can urge. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies, according to the effective working of by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Our Lord Jesus Christ is at work within his church himself. Very apparent. And of course, we want to be in a place where we aren't tricked, where we aren't pushed around, where we aren't blown about by every wind of doctrine. We want to be where the truth is spoken. So our Lord Jesus Christ, he urges us on. He encourages us. Our God, even our Father who has loved us, has given us everlasting consolation. Everlasting consolation, comfort, encouragement, exhortation. And he's given us good hope. There is nothing bad in our hope. There is no downside except for those poor people in verse 12. The ones who are condemned. He's given us good hope through grace. Then in verse 17, it goes on and starts with comfort again. The Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, comfort your hearts, plural, the church, all of us, and establish, strengthen you in every good word and work. To strengthen, to establish in every good word, everything that we do and say. Now that's a holy life. Good in all that you do and say. The NIV translates these two verses. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. And we go into chapter 3. Did I skip a verse? Good, okay. Finally, brethren, pray for us. One, first of all, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. And two, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Finally, in addition, or henceforth, brethren, one, pray for us. Pray in regard or concerning us that the word of the Lord may have free course. In order that the word of the Lord may have free course, that Greek word is trecho. It means to run or spread rapidly, quickly. That the word of the Lord may run even and be glorified and be honored. There's a second, remember, I don't know if you remember in Acts when it says the Gentiles rejoiced and they glorified the word of God. The word of God can be glorified, and it was certainly glorified by the Thessalonian saints, even as it is with you. I want to read a couple of things from the previous chapter, previous stuff, but I have trouble turning pages, so I print out these pages, and I'm Okay. You could turn here if you want. As you can tell, I'm reading from the King James. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. Look at how the Thessalonian believers honored, glorified the word of God, and why Paul would want other people to receive it just as they did. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. They were examples. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we not need say anything, speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had to you, and how you turned from God to God, from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. He delivered us from the wrath to come, remember that? That's one of those things, if Paul had to write about being shaken in mind today, how many people think we're going to go through the wrath, the Christian believers, they don't know. What a delivering thing. Talk about being shaken in mind if you're looking around waiting for get beat over the head by God, or the people who think that God takes people, calls people home. You know, no, there's only going to be one calling home. And we're going to be there. We're going to be called, but all of us, and we're not going to get bumped off. We might get bumped on if we've already been bumped off. Look at the model church to wait for his Son from heaven, who delivered us from that. Also, another beautiful thing about the saints in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, which we're all familiar with, I think. For this cause also, so thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you received of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. The same word of God works in us. It works in anybody that believes it. So that's the Thessalonian believers, and Paul prayed that other people would be like them in their reception of the word of God, that the word of God may have free course and be glorified as it is with you. One translation renders the triumph gloriously. May this word of God triumph gloriously. And the second thing in verse 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Pray that in order that we be delivered from these people. This word unreasonable could be translated out of place or strange, unusual, unbecoming, perverse. There's where my page is missing. I did that. There it is. And wicked, bad, evil, malicious. They're just outright bad. Creeps. I don't know. that we could be delivered from these people, for all men have not faith. And we know how that goes, yeah. That's why they can be so evil, and if they don't have, they're not believers. They're not of the Lord Jesus Christ. The NASB handles these verses as follows. Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it was with you, and that we will be rescued. Delivered could be translated rescued also from troublesome and evil people, for all have not the faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. He is faithful. If we don't give up, He is always, He can come through for us time and time again. Or if he can't come through, it's because we shut Him out. He wants to. His Father, they want to help us as we endeavor to live a holy life. They've given us everything we need. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have each other, our fellow saints, to help. All these things to encourage, to urge us on that we don't give up. And our Lord is faithful. He shall establish you. I guess that's Old English for establish. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. Our Lord is faithful. To establish means to make fast, to strengthen, to hold us up. He is faithful to do this and to keep us from evil, or the evil one. To keep is to guard, to watch, to protect, to keep. The ESV handles this verse as, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. The NIV, but the Lord is faithful and He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. And we have confidence in what? I love that. It doesn't say we have confidence in your flesh or our flesh. It says our confidence is in the Lord. They were persuaded in the Lord in regard to the saints that they both do and will do the things which we command you. The NIV says, we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things which we command. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Wow. We've seen from the Word of God about the Spirit of God within us. Do we cooperate with us or do we grieve it? The Lord can direct our hearts into the love of God. He can guide our hearts into the love of God if we allow His Word to live within us, if we cooperate with what the Spirit is leading us, urging us to do. He can direct our hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So I'd say if we cooperate with our Lord Jesus and His working within, it'll be a lot easier than us trying to do it on our own. Maybe reading books about it, or I think I can, or writing on the board. No. He's our Lord. He lives within us by the Spirit of God. He can and wants to direct our hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Different ways that patient waiting could be handled. It's that Greek word hupomonen. It's an enduring, a steadfastness, a waiting for. The Lexham English Bible, that's the LEB, handles this now. May the Lord direct your hearts toward the love of God and toward the patient endurance of Christ. And I think I'll close by, again, reading our theme verse. But since we belong to the day, which we certainly do, we're not darkness, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Our Lord can direct our hearts into those things. It works a lot better if we let Him work within us. So, God bless you. Love you.